Martin Luther, are you the author of these writings?
I am.
Do you recant what you have written here?
I confess that I have written too harshly. I am but a man and I can err. Only let my errors be proven by scripture.
What happened in Augsburg pushed open the door of religious freedom. Martin Luther lived for another 16 years preaching and teaching the word. He and Katharina von Bora enjoyed a happy marriage and 6 children. Luther's influence extended into economics, politics, education, and music, and his translation of the Bible became one of the founding rocks of the German language. Today, 540 million people are set free by the words of the Protestant Reformation. I don't know about you, but wires get to be a pain. There. How many of you have seen that movie, Luther? You know, if we can figure out how to make this work so it's clear, we ought to have a movie night, because the Thrivent came up with this movie in 2003, and it's got some great people in it. Luther is Ralph Fiennes. Frederick, the Elector of Saxony, is Peter Ustinov. I mean, it's full of famous actors. But the thing is, it tells the story about what went on during this time. Now, probably only one of you are used to seeing a pastor like this, because in Scandinavian Germany, this is what Lutheran pastors wear even today. And since we're talking about the Protestant Reformation, I thought I would be a traditional pastor today. For once in a while, you know. I'm going to get a music stand here for a second. Oh, that's right. Not. I like the way you put that. not.
A little sarcasm.
No, a lot of sarcasm. Holy Bible. We all have one, right? How many of you have more than one Bible at home? Ooh, almost all of us, okay? How many of you read it? Off and on. This is the one my folks gave me when I went through confirmation in 1963. And it's my dad is the one who signed it to me. So, I keep this. But it's the Revised Standard. You can tell I read it a lot, okay? There was a time when you were put to death for reading this book. It was too good for the common people. Well, why? Well, part of the thing is, if people start reading the Bible, they learn what's true and not true. And so they start demanding freedom. And if you notice, that's the name of my sermon today. And we're going to talk about religious freedom. Because what did Luther say? I can't recant. Here I stand. I can do no other. If you can't convince me by Holy Scripture and reason that I'm wrong, then why should I change? Now, one of the things during this trial, the penalty was going to be burned at the stake as a heretic. I mean, this isn't a slap on the hand time. Well, so why did all of this happen? Well, during this time, about 1200 AD, St. Peter's Church in Rome fell apart. I mean, it had been built around 400. It lasted almost 1,000 years. And I don't know about you, but an early church made out of wood and things like that, they're going to come to the point where it's at it. All right, so they got this great idea of building this huge, beautiful building. Well, you got to stop and think. It's not like they've got GM or other places like that during this time period to go to and say, well, we need $10 million. I mean, the middle class is just starting right now. There's a lot of things going on in terms of culture. And so what did the Catholic Church come up with? Well, we're going to sell indulgences. How many of you have ever heard the word indulgence? How many of you know what it means? Well, just a few of you. All right, Jean. Well, I'll set one who at least it's not circumcision today. You've got a chance to go to a party night. Oh, that was last night. Okay. Well, lots of booze.
Yep.
Lots of good-looking guys.
Nope.
Hey, listen, I can't help you with that. But if you want to have a good time, why don't you give me $1,000 and I'll write out this piece of paper called an indulgence, which means you can indulge yourself and it's not a sin. Your sins are forgiven. Now, I don't know about you, but would you, somebody point this out in this book where that's the case? It ain't in there, is it? Next, the idea of purgatory. Jerry, you asked me about purgatory. All right, Roman Catholic Church teaches that after you die, you go to purgatory until your soul is cleansed. Guess what else ain't in there? Purgatory. But here's the thing. How many times especially for those of you who grew up on Catholic, priests came in the house and said, you know, Aunt Jenny died, and we'd like to have you shorten her time in purgatory. Would you give me a check? That's what happens. And so it happens. Peggy's had one of the relatives who came in and came over a second time. And she said, listen, if he got himself into purgatory, he's going to have to get himself out. About 200 years before Luther was St. Thomas Aquinas, very good theologian, And he started to question all of this stuff. In fact, he wrote a book. You know, it's City of God is what it translates at. And he talks about this very thing we're talking about, that it's not scriptural and it's not part of the religion of Jesus Christ. But of course, he was shot down, okay? And he was told to recant. And he did. When I went to the Society of the Holy Trinity, we had a professor from Marquette come in and talk to us about the Reformation in Germany prior to Martin Luther. What had happened for at least 100 years before Luther, Germany was a hotbed of people saying, wait a second, what we are being taught and what the truth is are two different things. Many of you don't know, but there was a reformer by the name of John Huss in Czechoslovakia who was not Lutheran, but he was a Catholic priest. And he was really the first reformer. And the church decided they were going to take care of this heresy. In fact, most of Czechoslovakia and most of Poland at one time were Protestant. And so the church came through, and on May 1st, May Day, they burned 150,000 people at the stake on the road outside of Prague. So the best way to take care of heretics is to burn them. Well, you know, people get to the point where if that's, you know, what might happen, I don't think I'm going to do this. You know, it doesn't make a difference what's here, it's what you confess. So a lot of this stuff was going on. So we've got the sale of indulgences. We've got the church trying to burn out heresy. And finally, somebody said, isn't this what's important? No, I got to share this with you. I got into a discussion with a Catholic priest here this week on that Protestant. This isn't important. Word of God can be mistranslated or changed, whatever. It's what the councils of the church decide is what the religion is. We don't recognize sola scriptura by scripture alone. But yet, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh. Minor detail? No. It's for us, isn't it? But at one time, all of Germany went to war over this. It's called the 30 Years' War. And the 30 Years' War, not even more than decimated, 50% of the people in Germany were killed during this war. 50%. Now stop and think about that. We have 50,000 people in our area, right? That means 25,000 people in this area would be killed. Okay? We had a family castle, Stalag Castle on the Rhine River. River. Watch phraseology, unless you're going to add onions to it. Stalag Castle is, remember Burt Bacharach? Anyway, his family came from Bacharach on Rhine, it's a city. That's why his last name was Bacharach. Right above it is Stalag Castle. Stalaker, you've heard me say my name, my family name. During the 30 Years' War, that castle changed hands between the family and the Roman Catholic Church 9 times. And it finally fell. Well, after the 30 Years' War, Germany was partitioned. If you were Lutheran in the south or Catholic in the north, you had to get out. So the north part of Germany, in fact, all of Northern Europe became Lutheran, okay? Protestant, okay? All of Southern remained Catholic. Well, we were in the Rhineland, which is South Germany, so that's why my family went to Russia. Well, why was that so important? Well, are we saved by grace through faith, or are we saved by works? Is that the way it's taught in Catholic Church even today?
Nope.
Works righteousness. You're saved by what you do. What happens if that is enforced by the sword? Okay. Can you see the problems that were going on at this time period? You know, Ephesians say it is not, you know, do not know boast because it is by works you have been saved, or by grace you have been saved. Well, so why is the Reformation so important? Well, first of all, we wouldn't be sitting here today if it wasn't because of it, right? Okay. So, we're in worship, and we're worshiping as we see fit. Now realize, after Vatican II, you can go into a Catholic church and really, for the most part, worship's the same. In fact, the first time I went to a Catholic church and I heard them singing A Mighty Fortress and Our God Is Our Guard, I knew things had changed a little bit. You know? And so really, we worship a lot alike. But here's the biggest thing. Heaven and forgiveness are freely given to anyone who asks. That's not the way it is. So, if you are a sinner and you ask for forgiveness, what do you have to do to earn the forgiveness? Well, yeah, but you see what I'm getting at? Yeah, but the thing is, what does that have to do with forgiveness? Okay. Forgiveness, as for those of us who have been going through the catechism here lately, is freely given. All it has to do is be asked for. That's one of the blessings of the Reformation. Listen to this one. We're saved by grace through faith for Christ's sake. Okay, my sermon on Christ's sake. Not for anything else, but for His sake, we are saved. That's not taught. Even today, it's not taught. Well, the power of the church was given back to the people. Okay? Now, the Lutheran Church does have an episcopal structure. However, every church has the right to change what they want and what they don't. Even like in the Missouri Synod and Wisconsin Synod. Because that's what the Book of Concord says. Now, Book of Concord is the book of theology of the Lutheran Church. All it is it's like the catechism. We have the verses here, we believe it because of this. However, this might disagree. You know, and it leaves it up to the people who are reading to finally come to grips with that, chew on it, okay? But for the most part, this is what we believe. But look at our own church here. Do we have somebody that walks in and says we have to get a homosexual clergyman? No. Does somebody tell me that we have to worship a certain way? Well, yeah, the church council. Especially if I do something they're not comfortable with. But sometimes we do things because, yeah, no. Well, but it's because it was told to us to worship that way, you know? So I know you are. But the thing is that we talk about this kind of stuff. Am I a dictator? No. If I was, would I be here a long time? Probably not. Okay? But that's what the Reformation has done for us. Okay? It's opened this up in terms of freedom. So my sermon today is on freedom. Tony, do you know what the name for freedom is in Greek? Put me on the spot.
I'm dyslexic. I have a hard enough time with English.
I think you're going to be surprised by this. I'm going to give you the declination of how it comes out. Lutero, Lutheras, Lutheran. Luther's family took the name from Greek. They weren't originally Luther. Luther means freedom in Greek. How many of you knew that? So Lutheran is freedom. It's, yeah. Now realize, Luther didn't like the name. Okay, we're Catholic. We're part of the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, but small c. Okay? And the faith is the faith. Folks, our faith and the way we look at religion is the way it was for the first 800-900 years of the Roman Catholic Church. All we did is go back to the early church fathers. Okay, we took the changes out of the church. We're studying First Clement on Wednesday morning. Clement was a student of Paul, okay, was in the last half of the first century. He knew John, he knew Mark, okay, he knew Polycarp, who was the last of the apostles to actually know the original apostles. And he wrote a letter to the Corinthians, because they were still having problems, 20 years after St. Paul wrote 1st and 2nd Corinthians. All right, so we are looking at somebody's mind who is trained by the apostles. It's been an interesting walk through Scripture, hasn't it? Okay, especially when we see all of the books of the New Testament that are quoted by Clement in 97 AD. They were there. This was there. And people were reading it because he talks about it. Well, if that's the case, why don't we all do this? And that's, I think, is a good question. Folks, 500 years ago, somebody stood up, Martin Luther, and said, wait a second, this is wrong. Okay? And the thing I find very interesting is when Luther was, if you ever see the movie, he was grabbed by a bunch of people and taken to a castle outside of Prague. Okay? Wartburg. And while he was there, the writings of John Huss were there. And guess who read them? Martin Luther. Folks, we are Hussites, if you really want to get down to it. We follow the teachings of a man who lived 100 years before Luther. And part of my seminary training, I did a study of the amount of quotations from Thomas Aquinas that are in the Book of Concord. Over 150 of them. Folks, we're not changed. We took the church as it was meant to be, and as we were given that right 500 years ago. There's the blessing. Okay? It's not because we're Protestant. It's not because we're Lutheran. It's because we're Christian. And I think that is the biggest blessing. I was doing this last night, and you know I practice on Saturdays. I was thinking, what's it going to look like in 500 more years? You know, that really struck me last night. And so we are going to pray today as part of it for the growth of the church. And when I say the growth of the church, I'm not talking about the Lutheran or Roman Catholic or Episcopal or Orthodox. I'm talking about the Church of Jesus Christ, the Christian church. Because right now things are a little scary. Okay. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the freedom to believe as the Bible teaches us, your word, your grace, and your salvation earned for us by the gift of our faith through the Holy Spirit working through a lone monk in Germany 500 years ago. Hallelujah and amen.